Okay, well, we're beginning a new series this week for the summer. As leaders, we decided, we always talk about what we feel God is asking us to teach and preach. And at the last leadership team, it was decided that we're going to begin a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know, spiritual gifts. And so I'm up here to lay the foundation for that. Different people are going to be coming, following on with their teaching, and they're going to take the gift specific. But I'm just going to lay the whole foundation for that today. Well, I'm going to try to anyway, by the grace of God. Hey, Sam, brilliant to see you, darling. Blessings on you. So I just want to say, yeah, if you're here for your first time, it's lovely to have you here. Don't let any of the normal noise of family, we're chatty, we're cheeky, we're a little bit loud, don't let that put you off. I pray that we're going to have ears to hear this morning. Yeah, amen. So this morning, yesterday I'd written up my notes and I felt kind of like, great, I got my notes written. And this morning, they just didn't work at all. And I was like, God, what's going on here? He was like, go back to the Bible. Not that the notes are wrong, because I'm going to get to them, but I realized that I'd missed out a whole bit. So in laying this foundation for spiritual gifts, we're going to have a very close and detailed look at Ephesians 4. And why are we doing this? We're doing it because at Lee Valley Church, we want people to love God and love others, but we also want each person to find their unique giftedness and to flow in that, because the body will be built up by that which every joint supplies. We all have a job. We all have a place. We are gifted in unique and diverse ways, and the health of the body depends upon each one of us finding, taking, and flowing in our gift. Are we good with that? I've read the story. There is a problem with those who are actively involved in the ministry of the local church, but who are not functioning in a ministry which corresponds to their spiritual gifts. Their dilemma is illustrated by the story of a certain sea captain and his chief engineer who were having an argument as to which one of them was more important to the ship. Failing to agree, they resorted to the unique idea of swapping places. The chief ascended to the bridge and the captain descended into the engine room. After a couple of hours, the captain suddenly appeared on the deck covered with oil and soot. Chief, he yelled, wildly waving aloft a monkey wrench. You'll have to come down here. I can't make her go. Of course you can't, replied the chief. She's aground. And I love it because... Did I hear Phil Penne's laugh? No, because I think did... He's not here, no, because I thought Emma got back, but I just wondered if she was sitting here and I'd missed her. That illustrates it exactly right. We need to be in the right place, at the right time, doing the right job, for the right reason, in the right way, so that the body can be built up. So that's why we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. It's not because we're going to release an anointing of miracles at the end of it. Because, hala, we're just people, right? God gives the gifts. Amen. It's not because we want everyone talking in tongues like maniacs until we've got every language in the world represented because of an outflow of glossolalia happening here. It's not. We don't want the gifts of the Spirit flowing so that we can be spectacular. That's what the enemy does with his gifts. He intoxicates and captivates and fascinates people. The purpose of God's spiritual gifts is to build up his body, because his body is to be the reflection of him in the earth. Are we cool with that? So we're going to go to Ephesians 4, please. Thank you, Yaku. It's always good to read the Word of God. Yeah? So, we're going to read this together. Can you see it? Okay. Let's stand up and read the Word of God together then. As a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Isn't that awesome? Incredible. That is our first snapshot of the purpose of the spiritual gifts. When we look at Ephesians 4, next slide, thanks. We see that it opens and it says that we have been called into a calling, that we have been called and we are to walk worthy of the calling. So can I have two volunteers, please? One from this side, one from that side of the church. Just come and stand at the front. Thank you, Susan. Susan, your sentence that you need to remember is, I am called by God. Can you stand up there, please? I am called by God into a calling. Okay? Let's hear it.
I am called by God.
I am called by God into a calling.
Into a calling. That's right. I am called by God into a calling. Yep. Zap them all up. And it is a unique destiny. The fact that we are called is the beginning. This is the starting point of the journey. I'm
called.
I am called by God unto a calling.
That's right. I'm called, but I'm called into the calling. I really want us to get this because it all fits together very well. Paul opens this letter to the Ephesians by saying that he is called and that we should walk worthy. You've been called to walk worthy of the calling that is on our life. Now then, if I take that apart, I forgot my glasses, which is a shame. 1 Corinthians 12. There are some in my office, but I'll just, if you wanted to get them for me, that would be great. I mean, Ephesians. That's great, isn't it, already? I'm on the wrong book. As a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life that is worthy of the calling he has graciously extended to you. So have we got this? Each person here, whether you know Jesus Christ as Savior, your personal Savior, whether you have a saving faith in God, whether you live every day to glorify God, every person, saved and unsaved, has been called by God into a specific calling. Now, we will either respond to the call of God that is on our life and move into the calling that God has for us, or we will ignore the call of God upon our life and not move into our calling. I want you to see that there is a journey to get from being called into the calling. And Paul makes it very plain how we get there. See, when you are called, thanks Yaku, the fact that you are called means that you are called for a purpose. Okay? God has got a purpose for us. That we are called to sonship. Do you know that every person who has ever lived and whoever will has been called to come into the family of God? To come into the family of God through the avenue of Jesus Christ. Not through the avenue of good works, intelligence, reason, good looks, or crisis. We are called into the family of God through the Son of God, that we all might be sons and daughters of God. That's our beautiful little unicorn Gloria Ace. We are all called to be saved. Everybody. Now, what happens at the close of the age and after humanity is wiped away and we stand before God, we will have to each person give an account of what we have done on earth with the very person of Jesus Christ. A huge separation is coming. That's the first thing. The second thing that we are called to, every person on life who's ever lived, is called into service. God just doesn't call sons to sit back and sunbathe and bask in the glory of his incredible love for us. He calls us, he creates us, uniquely gifts us in order that we could have correct godly service in our life. Okay? So,
I am called by God.
With a specific purpose, gifted with unique gifts, diverse gifts, in order that she will be able to...
Called by God into a calling.
That's right. Enter into the calling. So I want us to understand this. You start being called. If you're following Jesus, you wind up by getting into your calling. But you, first of all, you have to respond to the fact that you have a purpose. You have to embrace the fact that part of that purpose is to become a child of God, and the other part of that is to serve the kingdom of God. It is not to serve yourself. There are so many gifted people, and they take all the gifts and squander it on themselves. It's their right, it's their choice, it's their prerogative to do that, but it's just not smart. So, we are called. Now then, Paul goes on and he says, so, if the apostle is telling me I have got to go on a journey from being called, where I start, to my calling, where I finish, he's going to tell me how to do it. He says, be humble, be gentle, be patient, tolerate one another in an atmosphere thick with love. What? You don't mean I'm going to go to Be Cool classes and I'm going to graduate from intelligence, you know, level, and I'm going to have all the accolades of wealth and beauty. I don't go there to get this particular calling that I need to go into. It's going to actually build my character. So can I have another volunteer, please? Because to get from the fact that I'm called into my calling, there are a few steps on the journey along the way. Your name is going to be character. Where are you? Oh, great. And yes, then I will take you. Thank you, Doton, because you can be. So I need Sherry next over here, character. Our character needs building. Thank you, Doton, over here. We need to be disciplined. Our character, you know those things, humility, patience, and love. Have you heard this list before? Oh my goodness, in order to get from being called into my calling, now we're starting to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, aren't we? So I'm not going to get it by being an incredible chameleon. I'm not going to get it by being an eloquent speaker. I'm not going to get it by adapting myself to everybody else's standard to get from being called into my calling. I'm going to get it by having my character built. Okay, I'm going to get it by having the fruit of the Spirit. So he talks about that. Then he says, tolerate one another in an atmosphere thick with love. Make every effort to preserve the unity the Spirit has already created with peace binding you together. I'm going to need discipline. Thank you, Doton, over here next to character. In order to get from my call into my calling, I need my character to be built. I need the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in my life. I need the grace of Holy Spirit flowing in me. I also need the discipline of Holy Spirit to help me preserve the unity of the faith, the unity of the Spirit, to help me walk in love. We don't like that. We need to be disciplined by God sometimes, but we also need to self-discipline. Yeah, sometimes God brings people into our lives who say things and it's iron sharpening iron. It's a form of discipline. Sometimes a prophetic voice will speak into your life and it will be a godly reproof and a rebuke to pull up your socks and to move in the right direction. We need that. But there's another type of discipline that's needed to get me from my calling, being called into my calling. And that is self-discipline is needed. Self-discipline to read the word. Self-discipline to pray. Self-discipline not to gossip. Self-discipline to let the Holy Spirit search my heart until my motives are entirely pure. Self-discipline to live right relationships. Self-discipline to be a good citizen. Self-discipline to walk in purity and righteousness. So if I'm going to get from being called into my calling, I'm going to let my character be fully formed. The fruit of the Spirit flowing in my life. I'm going to let the discipline of God and self-discipline in my own life urge me forward into the unity of the Spirit so that I have a Spirit-inspired, guided and led life. I need someone else, please. Because Paul talks about here, yeah, another one here, I'll tell you what you're going to be. There's one Lord, one Jesus, and it's God who gave the gifts to people. God who gave the gifts to people. So if I'm going to get from being called into my calling, my character needs to be fully formed. The discipline of God working in my life and self-discipline needs to be working through love, of course. But I'm also going to need to be anointed by God to do it or have a grace on my life to make it happen. Okay, I need the grace of God. I need that portion of Christ working in my life. So do you see, sitting as a saved person and somebody comes along and prophesies to you and says, you're called by God to be an incredible gift to the body of Christ. You can't just sit down and say, I'm called by God to be an incredible gift to the body of Christ. Hey, do you know something? I had a word. I'm called by God to be an incredible gift to the body of Christ. You'll never believe what I was told. I was called to be an incredible gift to the body of Christ. Okay, great. You're here. That's brilliant. And what you are called into is to be an incredible gift to the body of Christ. Now, how do you plan to get there? By letting your character be shaped by the Holy Spirit. By letting love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control propel you. By submitting to the discipline of God in your life and to putting in wise self-disciplinary actions into your life. By recognizing and not despising the anointing in your life and by not coveting somebody else's anointing. I'm going to be a great gift to the body of Christ. Joyce Myers is a great gift to the body of Christ. Oh, I might be like Joyce Myers. I'll never be like Joyce Myers, and guess what? Joyce Myers will never be able to teach like Bo Ace. Not that she'd ever want to. But the point is, the grace on my life is the grace on my life, given by God who has decided what those graces will be. So that if I start off being called and I yield my character to the Holy Spirit until He is guiding and inspiring and flowing through me. When I shut my mouth when I could have an opinion about something. When I forgive because Holy Spirit is inspiring me to. An atmosphere thick with love when I let my life be nurtured in an atmosphere thick with love. When I let godly discipline happen in my life and godly self-discipline happen. When I trust in the anointing and the grace that God has called me into, I will go from being called by God into my
calling.
Give them a big hand. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And I did that because I really want us to understand, even before we get to talking about the spiritual gifts, because they're impressive. And sometimes the impressive nature of the gifts can seduce us into wanting those gifts so bad. I would love to have the gift of faith that whatever you could, like George Mueller. How do you think he got that? By being called and letting his character be shaped and trusting in the disciplining nature of the word of God and disciplining himself by trusting in the gift that was on him for the building up of the saints until eventually one day he could have 10,000 orphans, sit them down with no food or money, and they would literally sit at their table and give thanks for food, and it would begin to appear at their doors in his orphanages. Incredible. And underneath all of that, we read from Ephesians 4, You're called, walk worthy of the calling that is upon you. Here's how you're going to do it. Your character's going to be built up. You're going to have discipline in your life, which you need that to head you in a particular direction. You're going to only do it because you're anointed by God, who chooses the measure of your anointing and the gift that he gives you. God chooses that. So until ultimately you will fulfill your calling, which will have been to be a son of God and to be a servant of the church. Can I just make that clear? The calling on my life will never be more great than to be a son or daughter of God and a servant of the church. It is not to have a platform ministry. It is not to have everybody have my name on their lips. Man, you should listen to her. Man, you should get her to pray. No, 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 no. The calling on my life is to stand up straight in my sonship and daughtership. And on your life. And it's to stand humble and true as a servant and say, okay, I can do that. Lord, let me do that. And in order to help that happen, we read on in Ephesians that therefore Christ has given gifted leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Underneath all of that call, there is God who has given us people to equip us. Thanks, Yaku. And then over that call, because it says that God is over everything, he's over all of that call. One faith, one God, one Father, verse 6, who is above all, through all, and in all. When we're talking about the call and we're entering into our calling, we have to understand that God is over everything. Even before you start thinking about, I wonder what my spiritual gifts are, just know that God is over it. We need him to be in it and working through it. And we need this sense of actually, I'm on a journey. And then we need to know that God adds people to our journey along the way, so that we get to build up the church and the church gets to look great. Okay, next slides. I think we're going to go through to Corinthians. Sorry, I sped through all of that. Because it's the same slide, but I was just adding the same things. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6. I love this. 1 Corinthians 12. Look, if you are not getting the best out of your Bible, start reading some different versions. And also, just start reading it, did you say, hon? Yeah, you do have to read it to get something out of it. Right. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 says, now there are many kinds of grace gifts, but they are all from the same Spirit. There are many different ways to serve, but they're all directed by the same Lord. There are many amazing working gifts in the church, but it is the same God who energizes them all in all who have the gifts. So there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, it's quite smart of us to have a look at the different, what those words mean, because there are different things here. There are different kinds, there are different gifts, there are different service, and there are different workings. Okay, that first word, that different kinds, that's the Greek word, yeah. Diaresis, and it's from two words meaning dia, which means through or reaching across, which intensifies the second word, herimai or hieremai or something, which means making a personal choice. So this Greek word diaresis from two words, which means to reaching through, reaching across, making a personal choice. When you put those through together, what you get is that God has chosen to give his sovereign endowments of grace to his people so they can reach out or reach across to others as his hand extended. My goodness. This this instruction for the different kinds of things that God is doing, now you see the motive of God laid bare. You see who God is, because we can't give ourselves these gifts. Anybody who says to you that they can give you a gift of will lie to you about something else. God gives the gifts. He chooses what he gives, and he chooses who he gives it to. We are told to desire the gifts. We are told to eagerly seek them, to speak in tongues and to desire prophecy. Those are the two things that we are told to do. Speaking in tongues is for your own edification and building up, which you'd need to do if you had the gift of prophecy, because there's nothing like the gift of prophecy to seduce you into pride or control. So you definitely need to be prayed up in the Spirit, constantly walking in step with the Spirit, if you're going to open your mouth and forth tell and give directions to the body of Christ. That's the reason why those two are linked together to seek, I believe. So these different kinds, the different kinds of gifts that God gives me to get from my calling, from the called state into my calling, are for the very purpose that I might reach out or reach across to others as his hand extended. Right, so I'm talking about spiritual gifts. God chose to give me the gifts he's given me. I choose to receive them. Yeah? I choose to match my life to the steps of Holy Spirit, to walk in sync with him, so that as his character is built in me, I learn to flow in that gift and trust that gift more and more in my life. I appreciate the discipline of God in my life. I understand the power of self-discipline to work that gift, that grace, that anointed endowment that has come to God from me for the purpose of reaching out from where I am and across to where someone else might be as his hand extended. Who do you see now when I'm talking about spiritual gifts? Yeah. As his hand extended. My Bo, you've done a mighty fine thing today. No, shut up. No, I haven't. Will you see Jesus? As his, he gives all of those different things, gifts, services, and workings, so that you and I might reach out from where we are and might reach across, because there's a divide between those who know Jesus and those who do not. So that we might reach out and reach across as his hand extended. Let me love you. Can I do that for you? Some people will take it and some won't. We were at Lidl's the other week, and there was a busy mum, one child there, her trolley was overflowing, and when she pulled out to pay, she didn't have enough money for the balance of it. Oh, her card wouldn't accept. And people were getting grumpy, and she was clearly embarrassed, and she was like, take this off. And Jeff said to me, oh, there's a mum there, and she can't pay. And I went, I'll just whip up. And but there were now all the lines, and it was like, how do I give with dignity? And I only had my card, I didn't have cash. And I just drew alongside her, and by now everybody in the lines are looking. And I just said to her, oh, you know, look, this could happen to anybody. Hey, can I help you out? I'd love to. Just let me pick up the tab for the rest of it. Don't put anything back. No, I can't let you do that. I went, yeah, of course you can. Come on. I'd want someone to do it for me. What? Look, you come on, just let me do it. It's nothing, is it? What is it? It's nothing. Doesn't matter what it is anyway. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't care what it is. I felt unction to go and do that, but she would not have it. No, I'm not having it. I was like, okay, all right. I just felt to offer and to come into that in a nice way, not in an embarrassing way or anything. Anyway, she didn't receive it, and plenty of people don't. Plenty of people you reach out to and reach across to, and you want to do something for, something good for, something God-inspired that will bless them. They don't want it. That's their prerogative. My responsibility is to reach across as his hand extended. Let's look at the word gifts. Okay, so I want you to bear that in mind when we're thinking about spiritual gifts. There are different kinds, but they're given by God as grace endowments for the purpose that I might and you might reach out and reach across as his hand extended. Okay, so I want you to keep that in mind. I beg your pardon? Yeah, thanks. So he gives gifts. That word is the Greek word charisma. We know that word. We say it. It's been absorbed into our English language. They've really got charisma. Actually, the Greek means an undeserved favor, a gift of grace. It is a grace endowment to edify the church. The suffix ma, ma, charisma, focuses on the end result of the endowment of grace, which is the building up of the church. Right, now let me say this. God gives us a gift, an undeserved favor, an endowment of grace, a gift of grace. He gives them to me, he gives them to you, he gives them to everybody. But it is a grace endowment to edify his church. There are people who have got a grace on their life to make money, but it's meant to be coming into the kingdom so that the kingdom can be pushed. Of course, we get an overflow from the gifts that are on our own life. But there are people who will have that gift because they are without repentance. God gives them and he doesn't take them back. And they're entrepreneurial in nature and they're squandering everything on themselves. And the body of Christ, which should be having part of that supply in order to support missionaries and to do incredible things and to take the gospel to unreached places and to put safe shelters for people and to do all sorts of things that would bless communities, is not happening because someone's sitting there with a gift to make money on their life and they've got it in their bank and they've got great holidays and a great house and great cars. I'm not against any of that. What I'm against is squandering what's on you because it's not on you just for you. It's on you for others. And in case you think I'm preaching to anyone in specific here, I am not. This was my topic. It was given to me at the last leaders' meeting we had 3 weeks ago. This is mine. This is what I've been preparing for. This is what God is saying to me. And if you're here this morning, it's because God wants you to hear it. You've got something on you and it's not just for you. And it's not too late to make a decision about letting God into your life to build your character, to give you discipline, to hone the gift, to get you into a calling of sonship, daughtership, and service into the body of Christ. Let's look at that word service. It's a Greek word, diakonia. And it actually means waiting at the table. So there are different kinds of service. There are different types. Who sits at a table? Your client sits at the table. Who waits at the table? The staff. The servants. Who's the client? Whose table we serve? It's God. And we, our service is like a ministration. That's one of the words that is used to define this Greek word. Administration. And you know what? It carries with it a sense that it needs to be done with a willing attitude. I'll tell you as pastors, nothing irritates me more than people who offer up to do a job but in a foul attitude. In our home, and Hayley will tell you this growing up, attitude got punished more than anything else. Punishment, disciplined, shall I say. Because attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. If they could do the right thing, but if they did not do it in the right attitude, then I address the attitude. I'm not interested in you just doing the right thing. You've recognized that. If you sat under our pastoring for any length of time, you'll know that about me. I'm not wowed by the right you do. I want to know that it's actually been done in the right way with the right heart. That's really important to me because it's really important to God. So this attitude of service, that's why I say to people, if you don't want to give, don't give. Why do you think Scripture says God loves a cheerful giver? Actually, it's a hilarious giver whose heart is in his giving. Because attitude is everything. If you don't want to serve, get out of it. If you don't want to make cups of tea and you can't do it with a willing, glad to be here, what a privilege it is to give you your cup of tea today. Get out of the kitchen. Do us all a favour, yourself included. The minute I begin to feel that I don't want to come here to love you and serve you, I'll be handing in my resignation. You don't need that from me. What you need is people serving you who love what they're doing. I love what I'm doing. 28 years later, I love what I am doing. I love my life. Done with a willing attitude, and this is the other side of that, spirit-empowered service guided by faith. So a willingness to do it is not enough. It has to be faith, you see. Because faith is God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is a currency that we have to deal with when we're talking about the spiritual gifts and when we're talking about waiting at the table of the Lord. Faith is really important. Attitude and faith. So we've done gifts, charisma. We've done service, diaconia. Different kinds of those things. And the last one was working. Energema. We can see the word energy, E-N-E-R-G-E-M-A. And it's got that M-A at the end of it again, which means that it intensifies and focuses on the end result of why you've been given the working. So that word, energema, means a working, an effect, an operation. So there are different kinds. There are different endowments of spiritual grace that God has given to be a working or an effect or an operation so that I could reach out and reach across from where I am as his hand into a situation. So, this word working, it's in order to show that the results of what's happening come from God's energy, from his power, in his people, living in his faith. If I'm going to get from being called into my calling, after I let God shape my character, after I listen to the discipline of Holy Spirit and those who God has put around me and operate self-discipline in my life, after I honor the gift, after I walk in a manner worthy of what God has put on me, listen, I need to understand this, that it is God working in me. Any good that I can do, I do it by the grace of God. There's no glory in it for me. There's no glory in it for you. Any good that you or I can do comes as a result of his power, living in his people, walking in his faith. The end result of that power is for the focus of the building up of God's people, the church. Okay? So that all of that was just my opening statement to now take me to my preach for today. Is it actually 20 past 11? But I prepared 7 pages. That was just to be a little appetizer. Okay, Jeff is saying next week. All right, so we'll have worship then. We'll have some worship. And as the worship team are coming, since so much of it went into that then this morning, I know that there are people and you're sitting here and God's been calling to you. He's been calling, tenderly calling. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. Calling to you and to me. And he's been calling out, come on now, come home, come home. Come home to me. You've not been finding your rest anywhere else. You've been trying to fit in somewhere else, but you've just been resisting that voice that has been gently and softly saying, will you come? Will you come? Will you come to me? Stop resisting now. Just will you come? You know, he loves us, each one of us here. He loves you. He loves me passionately, without remorse, without regret, without boundary. They're not just words. They're really big concepts. Do you know, even though you might have spent all of your life until this moment rejecting that soft, tender voice of God calling you, he still loves you without regret. He's not sorry that he's been loving you from the day he conceived you until the day he saw you on the earth and watched every one of your days. He's not sorry. He doesn't regret his love for you. these are huge concepts when I say them, without boundary, without limit, and without regret. There are no parameters to the love of God. He's calling to you. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Today I'm offering you that invitation. Will you come to Jesus? I'm reaching out his hand to you, his hand of acceptance and love. And I'm saying you'll never, ever know love until you know the love of God. Because God just doesn't have love. He is love. And there's opportunity here this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you know God has been calling to me, and it's time for me to front up and say, oh, you know what? I recognize that I'm called with a purpose. I just didn't know that my purpose was to get on a journey until I got to know you and be like Jesus. The purpose of salvation is not that we can go to heaven. That might shock some of you. That is what happens when God gives us eternal life, because the death is removed from us. So life is our portion now. The reason we are saved is so that we can be transformed and conform to the image of Jesus Christ. So that while we live upon this earth, it is his hand reaching out. It is his eye in love. If that's you, then please come home. Come home today. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And maybe others of you have been sitting here and you've been sitting on a call, expecting it just to happen. Well, it's not. There's a grace endowment upon your life for the purpose of sonship and daughtership and service to the kingdom. And as we get into the spiritual gifts, you may discover what is on your life. And it's on your life in order that the body can be built up. And right now, I think there are people who are sitting here, and in their heart of hearts, they have not responded to that call because of any number of reasons. Really, Lord? I can't speak. Really, Lord, who am I to have that call? Hey, listen, God chooses. He chose. He gives the measure. He gives the different gifts, his workings. He gives the different varieties, the different kinds. But it's also that his kingdom could be amplified. If that's you, you need to make a response today. You need to let Holy Spirit transact in your heart to step up to that calledness and get on your journey until you are flowing with a great attitude and maximum impact and effect in the calling to which God has called you. There is a prayer team here. They'll be at the side at the font. If any of that has touched any of you and you want prayer, if you are sick in your body today and you need prayer, please come forward. Whether you know Jesus as your Savior or not, God loves, loves, loves to touch us with his healing. We'd love to pray for you. If you have whatever need you have, please come forward and we'll pray for you. But let's not leave the house today, but we let Holy Spirit transact his truth into our hearts. Amen. Thank you.